brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, when we left off last time, we were talking about why you should pray about your marriage. But when you hear the word prayer, do you just yawn and think of a grandma in her rocker with a lap quilt and a warm glass of milk? Or do you think of an army ranger in camo with painted face doing a commando crawl towards the front lines? Well, today, we're going to dig into it some more. Why you should pray about your marriage. Hey, I'm Brad Bigney. You're listening to Thrive, and we're missing Jason Allen. And some of you knew it immediately. You're like, hey, where's Jason? I don't want this podcast without Jason. Well, he's missing not because he's gone MIA on us, but because the amazing Fortis Institute team thought that Brad Bigney was ready to fly on my own now. I feel like the Rocky theme song should kick in right about now. Oh, yeah. Because I'm going to fly now. Brad Bigney. All by myself. And you're still listening to Thrive. So here we go. Let's talk about why you should pray about your marriage. Well, here's what you need to understand from the Bible. Number one, some things only come about through prayer and fasting. You realize Mark chapter 9, verse 24, Jesus himself looked at his disciples. He'd come down off the mountain and found his disciples unable to help someone. Now, I know it was demon possession, but I don't want you to think, oh, that's the only time we need to really pray and fast, when it involves demonic oppression or possession. Don't make that mistake, because here's what Jesus says in Mark 9. Some things only come about by prayer and fasting. There are some things, and I feel like marriage is one of those things, right? It's a mess. It's all out war sometimes. The stakes are so high, and the hopes are so high, and expectations are high. The level of confusion from our culture, what our culture says versus what the Bible says versus what my feelings say. If you were gonna pray, oh my goodness, would you not pray and perhaps even fast about your marriage? In fact, Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do, say it, nothing. Oh, we go around acting like without him, we can do a lot. But when we really need that little boost, when we need to take it to the next level, then go ahead and stop and pray. It's not what he's saying. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. That includes marriage. You don't have what it takes to do marriage, my friend. I don't have what it takes to do marriage. In fact, each one of us brings everything necessary to destroy one. Our sin, our selfishness, our thinking out and looking for me. Everything necessary to destroy one we bring to the table. But apart from him, we've got nothing that would keep one alive. So pray. Oh, I love the author Paul Tripp. I hope you know that name. Paul Tripp says this, and he said it in the context of parenting, but I think we can apply this to marriage. He says, in marriage, your weakness will not keep you from effectiveness if you believe the gospel. Your delusion of strength will. Because it will keep you from seeking the Lord, keep you from seeking his help, keep you from humbly saying, it's not only my spouse God is working on in this moment, he's also working on me. Did you ever think about it? It's actually your strengths that you bring to marriage that could be your greatest downfall, because it keeps you from praying and crying out to God and saying, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. Help me. Help me. Show me how to love. Show me how to sacrifice. Show me how to die to self. Show me how to prefer somebody else. Show me how to serve. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Why should you pray about your marriage? Well, because apart from his supernatural help, you can't do marriage. And he said, some things only come about through prayer and fasting. We're going to talk about that later. Let me ask you right now, how much do you pray about your marriage versus how much you complain about it? Oh, ouch. Somebody say ouch, huh? Versus talk to a friend about it. And there's nothing wrong with talking to a friend, but that friend has no power to actually work in your heart and the heart of your spouse. When you talk to God, you're talking to someone who can do something about it. So pray. Let me give you another reason you should pray about your marriage. It's going to sound like a no-brainer, but we are commanded to pray. It's never presented as an option. It's a command. Listen to Colossians chapter 4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Listen to the modifiers that are tucked around prayer there. Laboring fervently in prayer. You labor fervently in prayer for your marriage, for yourself, saying, God, help me be the kind of husband I should be. God, help me to be the wife I should be. I don't have it. Labor fervently in prayer. And as I talk about this, I want to throw something out there for you to think about. I've been a pastor. I've been a pastor almost 40 years now. And here's what I see. When Christians do get around to praying, they pray in vague generalities. I call them softball prayers. You just throw a big prayer up. Oh, God, bless us real good. Oh, God, just help our marriage. I'm not saying God doesn't hear those prayers and is not inclined to answer those prayers. He's a good, merciful God. But let me suggest something that's far more effective. Praying specifically. Here's what I think is so cool. The more specifically you pray, I think you'll start to see more answers to prayer. It's amazing how that happens. You notice when you've prayed specifically, God did that. Oh, I was praying about that and he did that. Oh, I was praying about that very thing. And pray specifically. Don't just say, God, help our marriage. Let me give you an example in my own life. We were only 2 or 3 years into our marriage when my sweet wife, Vicky, looked at me in our mobile home. Imagine living in a mobile home. We had no health care. I was making $10,000 a year as a youth pastor. We had two little kids. And she looks at me and says, I don't love you anymore. I have no feelings for you, but I'm not going to divorce you because we're both Christians. Now, that got my attention. I was like, wow. I knew things weren't great. I knew she wasn't happy, but typical guy, I just kept working harder. I just kept throwing myself into other endeavors and ministry and missions. But that got my attention. And we got some help. But let me tell you where prayer was a part of it. I decided to sit down and create a prayer journal where I was going to pray about my marriage, but not just pray every day, oh, God, help us in our marriage. I decided to pray specifically in the areas that God was showing me I was negligent and where he was showing me I was deficient. And I said, every day I'm going to pray about my marriage, but I'm going to pray about something different every day. Here's what some of it looked like and sounded like. Vicky kept telling me, I try to talk to you, honey, and you act like it's never a good time. It's never a good time to talk to Brad. I always act like she picked a poor time. When the truth of the matter was, I just didn't want to talk. I didn't want to deal with issues. I didn't want to. And so on one day, you know, I'm praying about my marriage, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, I set this prayer journal up for Monday through Friday. I thought Saturday, Sunday, I'm just going to pray led by the Spirit. But Monday through Friday, I want to pray strategically and specifically. Here was one of them. Be approachable. I began to pray. One day a week, I'm praying, God, help me to be approachable. Help me to make it easy for Vicky to approach me and talk to me. Help me not to be defensive. Help me not to shut her down. And I began to pray that every week, every week, every week. On another day, I prayed this because she had said to me, I feel like we're in two different worlds. Our worlds don't merge at all. You've got your ministry world. Here I am raising two kids. I just feel like we're... So I put it on one day. that I would do whatever I could to draw her into my world. Now, again, I want to live with her in an understanding way and not crush her. It doesn't mean I tell her everything in ministry that's going on that's hard. That's not what she wants. But I began to look for opportunities to draw her in and say, hey, I was just reading this article about community or groups or relationships, and I wanted to run it by you and talk it through. Would you read the article and talk? Oh, she loved it. I'm drawing her in. Oh, here's one of her favorite things. I would say to her, and this was not manipulation, hey, can I get your opinion on something? It was showing my wife, I value who you are, and I think you could be a part of what God has called me to do. I need you. Could I get your opinion on something? Let me run this by you. I had an idea. And then number three, a third one, I wrote down, be sympathetic. Express sympathy when she's sick or she's hurt. I don't have the gift of mercy. I'm not super compassionate, but I began to pray that one day a week. When she's sick, when she's hurting, when she's sad, when she's fearful, express sorrow. See, that must be hard. I'm so sorry, honey. How are you doing? I began to pray specifically. Hey, we're talking about why you should pray in your marriage. And maybe you had not ever thought how important it is, but I hope this is bringing it back on your radar or putting it there for the very first time. Pray about your marriage, because apart from Him, we can't do marriage. We'll be back in just a minute. We're going to keep talking about it.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment. And you know what strikes me about this episode is the point that Brad made about how we rehearse our marriage problems in detail with our friends, but then we just throw up these vague softball prayers to God. And if you're having problems with getting specific in prayer, let me recommend a resource to you that I think will help you. It's incredible. It's called Face to Face by Kenneth Boa, and it is perfect to what we're talking about today. Think about it. Brad talked about crafting a prayer journal with specific daily focuses for his marriage. Well, Face to Face guides you through 3 months of daily prayers of adoration, confession, renewal, petition, intercession, and thanksgiving. You can pick it up right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's called Face to Face by Dr. Kenneth Boa. And speaking of powerful resources, have you signed up to become a Fortis Insider yet? You're missing out if you have it, because first thing, it costs you nothing. That's right. 5 days a week, you get fresh content delivered directly to your email inbox. I'm talking about videos and podcasts on parenting and marriage and theology, the stuff that really matters to you. Plus, you're going to be the first to hear about our free webinars and sales in the Fortis store. And while you're there, make sure you grab the Fortis Plus app. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org. 7 new pieces of audio and video content released daily on Fortis Plus. You can download the app to your mobile device, or you can visit fortisplus.org. Plus, every single day, our fellows director, Jason, provides amazing director's cuts that make a real difference in your life. You're going to get to see Gary Varvel's weekly cartoons that are funnier than dad jokes. I beg to differ there, but I digress. Listen, hey, we're living in times where biblical wisdom about prayer and marriage are desperately needed. And that's why we brought together all of these voices with Fortis Institute. Men like Brad Bigney and other theologically sound teachers like Tim Challies and Dr. Adam Tyson and Dr. John Krotz. And just like Brad talked about in this episode, our complete dependence on God, we depend on gospel partners just like you to be able to produce all of the content that we're releasing as Fortis Institute. And so would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? All you have to do is visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about standing firm together for biblical truth in a world that desperately, desperately needs it. Again, fortisinstitute.org has all of the answers to all of the questions you could possibly have about what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And that's going to do it for me. Let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney now, as he continues to talk about praying for our marriages. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we're talking about marriage, and we've been digging into why you should pray about your marriage. So far, we've talked about, hey, you should pray because some things only come about by prayer and fasting. He said, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And that includes marriage. Secondly, we're commanded to pray. He calls us to pray earnestly, to make prayer a labor, some hard work, not grandma with a lap in her quilt and a warm glass of milk, just rocking gently back and forth with warm, sweet little thoughts. No, when you pray, you are doing hard work. You are going against the enemy. You are going against your flesh. But let me give you some more reasons to pray. Number three, you should pray because prayer, listen to this, shows you haven't forgotten who really has the power. Do you realize our prayerlessness is the biggest indictment that we think we can actually do life without God? Yeah, I know. Nobody would say it to their pastor on Sunday at the front door, hey, I want to let you know I'm actually going to do this whole week without God because I can. I'm that good. Nobody would say that out loud, but what do Christians do? They go the whole week without setting aside any time to pray over their day, to say, God, help me. I can't do it. Help me in that meeting. Help me with this marriage. Help me as I parent these kids. Help me in my home. Nope. Our prayerlessness is an indictment that we actually think we can do it. So the flip side is when you pray, you should pray because you show that you know who really has the power. I read through the Bible every year, and there are certain places I look forward to, and I love it. Here's one. When I get to 2 Chronicles 20, and you're like, what? Yeah, I hope you're reading your Old Testament, you guys. There's some great stuff in the Old Testament, especially some big God prayers. Listen to this. Jehoshaphat had a combined army of Midianites and Ammonites coming against him, and he stopped. And here's what's so cool. He had an army. He had weapons. He had resources. But in light of who really has the power, here's how he prayed. Oh, our God. This is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. We don't have power. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. Is that not a great marriage prayer? Don't you find yourself at times thinking, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. I don't know what we should do. I don't know how to get past this. I don't know. And then you try to do something and it just doesn't work, or you lose steam. I don't have power. But oh, here's what we can do. Our eyes are fixed on you, God. We have a God. You care. I'm going to fix my eyes on you in prayer. When you pray, you show that you have not forgotten who really has the power. Here's something else. Marriage can get really complicated, can it? I mean, complicated. You've brought two sinners together under the same roof. All your stuff arrived. All her stuff arrived. All the new stuff you've created together. Woo! And so prayer cuts through the fog and gives you discernment and insight. So often I just need discernment and insight. And when you pray, you can get it. Oh man, you need some discernment and wisdom for your marriage. There are certain verses that I've prayed for over 25 years now. In my prayer journal, I've got verses that I pray. Let me give you two that I've been praying for almost 30 years now. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What an offer! If any of you lacks wisdom, don't you lack wisdom sometimes in your marriage? Ask of God, and he gives liberally. In other words, he doesn't say, you again? Get back in line. You know, I got about 1 million followers. You can't be up here. He doesn't talk that way. You don't have to wait. You don't have an appointment. There's no limitations. There's no shelf life. Liberally and without reproach. Without reproach means he doesn't smack your hand and say, enough. And it will be. So there it is. There is the offer of wisdom, unlimited. Now let me ask you a personal and pointed question. How often do you ask God for wisdom? God, I need your wisdom. God, I need discernment. I don't know what to do. Help me. Help me. Let me give you another one. I've been praying almost 30 years. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. I love word pictures. That is a glorious word picture. He stores up sound wisdom. I picture this storehouse in the heavenlies, and it is chock full of wisdom. Wisdom for parenting, wisdom for marriage, wisdom for the marketplace, wisdom for the dark times we're living in, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. But you gotta ask. He never promised to just open it up and dump it on you automatically. Ask. Ask. How desperate are you for God's wisdom? When you're desperate, you begin to pray and say, God, give me discernment and wisdom. I'll give you another reason to pray. Because when you got married, your flesh would love for you to go to war with your spouse. Oh, it's so sad how quickly two people that were in love, two people who chose each other, you know, if you're a listener here in America, you probably chose your spouse. You dated, you chose them. This was not an arranged marriage. This person was not thrown upon you. You chose them. And yet, what goes from romance and love and even sometimes a chase turns into war quickly and easily. And here's why. Because there are two kingdoms in conflict. You realize your flesh and my flesh still wants to establish a kingdom of me, the kingdom of me. We would love to twist the Lord's Prayer into my kingdom come, my will be done in this home, in this marriage. Ooh, the flesh is still very much alive and would love to get you to go to war with your spouse. I tell my counselees all the time, you do have an enemy, and it's not your spouse. But they've gone to war with each other. And it so easily and quickly happens. That's what James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 is talking about when James said, where do wars and fights come from among you? He's not talking about one nation coming against a nation like Ukraine and Russia right now. No. He's talking about relational conflict that is a war. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Is it not your desires that war in your members? You covet and cannot obtain. You murder. And he's not talking about actual homicide. He's talking about in your heart, you hate and because you want what you want. And in your mind, your spouse is in your way. I'm not getting what I want. And so you go to war, and our enemy Satan just loves it. He just sits off to the side and just cackles. And that's why, if you recall, I'm bringing you these additional points because this is what surrounds the marriage passage in Ephesians chapter 5. If you'll back it up, you'll learn what you need leading into marriage. You got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to be willing to lay aside your rights. You got to keep cultivating gratitude. And if you keep reading past the marriage passage, past Ephesians 5:32 into chapter 6, this spiritual warfare chapter is related to human relationships when he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and forces of darkness. There is a war, and Satan would love to bring your marriage to an end, or at least keep it limping along, at least put you in a condition that you are useless for the kingdom. You can barely keep your own marriage alive, let alone bless somebody else. And that's why this podcast is called Thrive. We're trying to say, God, what is it we're not seeing and we're not laying hold of and we don't understand that would take us from barely hanging on and trying to survive to thrive? Well, listen to me. Part of it is prayer. A big part of it is prayer. Because when you say, I do, your flesh would love for you to go to war with that very person that you said, I do. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 6:18 and 19, praying always. How often? Always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. That word supplication means in detail. So that's why I brought you earlier in this podcast. Hey, don't throw up softball prayers. Don't just say, God bless us real good. Help our marriage. Supplication means in detail. Here's what's so funny. I find that we lie in bed at night and rehearse in detail how hard it is. Rehearse in detail what we wish was different about our marriage. Rehearse in detail in front of a friend for 90 minutes over lunch. But then with God, we go general. Supplication, tell God the details, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. We're talking about how to get your marriage to thrive. And part of that is pray about your marriage in detail. Hey, I'm Brad Bigney, and you're listening to Thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.